Good afternoon and welcome once again to Upstarts. Andy and Kelly are back with you again, talking about startups, getting started and being a general upstart in Dublin and in Ireland in general. So we've had some fantastic responses to the Upstarts Get Business Fit event that we ran on the 14th of January. It's been absolutely overwhelming, and we will be organising another one again soon, and we'll keep you posted with all the details of that. In the meantime though, Kelly, we have one of the partners who was at the event.
So tell us
all about today's show.
Well, we are very lucky today. We have Declan Cunningham and David Ryan from Flynn O'Driscoll Business Lawyers, and they took part in the event, and they're here just to tell us a little bit about themselves and what they do and to help people get to know them a bit better, because they play such an important role in the entrepreneurship and business community.
This is true. Yeah. And I suppose it's something we haven't really covered before, is kind of the legal side. You know, because all important, as we well know.
We've
talked on previous shows about, you know, finance. We've talked about getting support for social networking, websites, all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, if you're not complying with everything, if you're not keeping your books straight, if you're not keeping your paperwork right, if you're not, you know, doing everything right, it's all going to be for naught. So guys, thanks very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And we really appreciate you taking part in the event on the 14th of January. Absolutely fantastic to have you there. And I know the feedback from the guests was absolutely brilliant. So great. Thanks very much for coming.
Thanks, guys. It's nice to be here.
So maybe, Declan, if we could start with yourself. Could you just tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to Flynn O'Driscoll?
Yeah, no problem at all. My name is Declan Cunningham. I am a solicitor in Flynn O'Driscoll. I started work, I first went to college in Galway and qualified down, did corporate law down there, and then came up to Dublin and started with Flynn O'Driscoll 4.5 years ago. So I did all my training there, and I qualified as a solicitor in December 2012.
Okay.
And I just generally work in corporate commercial work and help startups as much as possible.
Okay. Brilliant. Do you enjoy what you do?
I do, very much so, especially the startup side of it, because I suppose it's something different than sitting at your desk all day and you're rustling through documents. So you get out there, you get to meet people, and there's quite a buzz about it, so it's good.
So what would a typical day for Declan be like?
Typical
work-wise.
Well, he starts with his porridge anyway. With porridge. I know that.
Someone hasn't stolen it from
That's
him.
That's it.
More about that later.
Yeah. Typical day, you get into work at about 8:30, check your emails, have a little bit to eat, and then you just start getting through documents and what needs to be done. Luckily enough, every day is kind of different. You never really know what's going to come up, and you just have to react to whatever's there.
Okay. So there's a lot of variety.
But a lot of variety in it. Yeah.
And is it like people see on TV?
Like Suits or something like
that?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think it is in my mind, you know.
It's not LA Law.
No.
So what do you do if you go to work and, you know, you go to the press, you open the press and your porridge is missing? Do you write a cease and desist letter to the guilty party?
I do replace it from time to time. Okay.
So you admit you took it.
Out of curiosity, I mean, when you started studying, when you decided that law was what you wanted to do, did it kind of enter your mind that working with startups and doing that sort of business side was going to be where you were going, or was it something that you kind of naturally got into?
It wasn't really in my thought process when I was studying, and I'm not sure if being a solicitor was ever in my thought process, but it's where I've ended up now. As from the startup side, it's something that Dave, as one of the partners in the firm, and one of the other partners, Alan O'Driscoll, it's something that was very important to them, and they kind of came up with this concept of doing something that was slightly different to the work that we do normally, and getting out there and trying to help startups as much as possible, and kind of came up with this whole concept of startup at Flynn O'Driscoll. So it's with their support that I've really gotten into it today.
Excellent. Fantastic. And we'll hear a little bit more about the startups at Flynn O'Driscoll program now in a couple of minutes. But David, so you're a partner in Flynn O'Driscoll. Tell us a little bit about your own history and your own journey.
Sure. I mean, I would have, similarly to Declan, you know, came out of NUIG in Galway, corporate law, spent about 6-7 years in William Fry Solicitors, would be one of the top 5 Dublin firms, and then I went to London for 7 years to a large international firm called Ashurst, and I'm back in Dublin now 2 years ago. The guys put a good deal on the table for me, and I came home to Ireland, and we've been very busy, and the practice has been really growing over the last 10 years really. The guys set up 10 years ago as a startup themselves.
Wow.
You know, people forget law firms are businesses. You know,
yeah.
We have 20 staff now, so they've gone from 2 to 20 in 10 years, and it's been a real success. I mean, we really are able to differentiate ourselves between the larger firms. You know, we're competitive. we are an alternative to, you know, what's been out there heretofore. Yeah. And that's a real key calling card. And we really understand the importance of cash burn for all of those startups that are coming in our door. We, you know, our idea is to really grow with them as they grow. So it's hopefully from, you know, cradle to not the grave, cradle to sail heaven, really, is what we want to do. And we want to support them along the way and hope that as they grow, they recognize that that support we gave them, that, you know, initial clinic that we did with them where we sat down and with a blank piece of paper and said, okay, what have you done so far? And not there to criticize them and to say, well, hold on, you need to be a little bit clever. We need to do this. We need to think about that. These are the elephant traps. These are the things you're going to come up with. You know, let's think about angel investors. Let's think about venture capital. Let's think about what's right for you in terms of funding. Yeah. Are you getting the low-hanging fruit? Are you talking to Enterprise Ireland? Are you portraying yourself in the right way? Does your business smell of coffee and roses when you're going in to try and get funding, be it from the bank, from an investor, from whoever? You need to just, you get one chance in front of someone. And that someone might write you a check for, you know, 50,000 or 100,000 and you can get match funding from Enterprise Ireland then for a further 100,000 if you do it right. Okay. But if you go to them and it doesn't stack up, or, you know, you're not quite fully prepared, well, then you've done yourself a, you know, an injustice. You've done yourself a disservice and you've lost that opportunity before you've even started, you know. So that's what we're kind of keen to do, sit down with people and kind of go through their whole, what they do, understand their business, understand the inputs, understand the shareholders, understand the, like, how are they making ends meet with it now at the moment? Have they missed a few tricks here and there?
Yeah.
And invariably, there's a couple of things, you know, sometimes people sit in front of you and they don't, you don't get much feedback. And then they start taking notes on their iPad or on their notebook or whatever it is.
They've started to listen.
And you know, they start to listen. You know, there's a couple of things there that they're, and then they'll say, oh, actually, we did that. And one, a good example is, you know, in terms of equity, giving away equity at the start. You get excited. There's three of you in the team. And all of a sudden, then two of you are working a lot harder than the third guy, and he's got a third of the business.
Yeah.
How do you get the shares back from him? Those are the kind of things that we're there to help people with at the very outset.
It's, and if big, you get it pitfall, right, that one.
So I really want someone to go out the door having been upskilled, having a few little things in the back of their head that they know, hold on, hold on a second, I need to give David a shout or give Declan a shout. Run this past them first.
Yeah.
Don't just sign a term sheet or a letter of intent or an MOU, as they call it. They can be called any of those things before you talk to someone. Because it'll be, it, depending on the investor, there could be things in there that you'll be sorry you
that
signed.
That you agreed to. And
then you roll to the main documentation and you've set the goalposts because you signed the MOU because you were so excited about getting the 50,000 or 100,000.
And you don't realise what you might be giving away.
You don't realise what you've just given away. So it's just to be a little bit careful. I don't want people to be afraid about it. And I don't. It doesn't need to be document heavy or anything. There's just a quick sanity check, you know, a little brainstorming session with someone who knows what they're talking about is invaluable. Yeah. And you can manage to hold on to your equity as best you can. Yeah. You know, you have to give some of it away if you're going to raise capital, but the trick is to give as little away as possible.
Fantastic advice.
Yeah, to get the low-hanging fruit, to get the sources of funding that are the least dilutive. And to get you to a point in time where, you know, your valuation is stronger, and then you can go to an angel investor perhaps, or a venture VC funding, and in a much stronger position and give away less equity. So it's just to make sure you're doing things right. And the things, it varies from startup to startup. So that's kind of what we offer, is to sit down with people, blank page, have a chat. It's quite informal. Go through it. There's no, you know, ulterior motive. And ultimately, what you're just trying to make sure is they go out the door, they think, those guys know what they're talking about. I've come out with a few life skills. And next time when I'm talking to an investor, or if there's an investment on the cards, I'm going to call the
tools.
Guys.
I have more tools in my arsenal.
And I'm going to call the guys and pick their brain, see what they think.
There's a couple of things that you kind of said there that really
hit home
and really stuck out in my mind. The first one was that you're kind of going, we want to differentiate ourselves by working with these small businesses and these startup businesses and watching them grow. And it's a great mentality to have, and
it's fun.
It is. It must be fun. I mean, and very diverse as well. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who have this kind of concept in their brain that, you know, law firms, they'll only deal with the big fish and the big things, unless they're the kind of Jimmy the Grunt type firms that deal with the small accident claims and stuff like that. But the business lawyers, there's that assumption that you're only going to be dealing with the big guys. But actually, no, you're helping these businesses grow.
Yeah, I mean, the key to that is, you know, not everything works out. So we've got to, you know, from our own perspective in developing our business, there's going to be people at all life cycles of their business. Mm. If someone's successful, they're not going to come to me in 3 years' time. They'll come to me in 3 years' time because I was there at the start. You know, yeah. So that there is an investment, you know,
from our side as well.
You know, so you do. We're very appreciative. You know, we're a business, obviously, so we charge for our services, but we're appreciative that, you know, people in the early stage, that there's loyalty, that at the early stage, people are really cognizant of the level of cash burn. They just don't have the cash. So we're cognizant of that, and it's upfront. People understand exactly what's going to cost them, where they're going to get to, and everyone's happy with that, and that's the way it stays. It's not like you get a further bill that's a shocker and you hadn't actually budgeted for it and now you're in trouble. You know, that's not how we operate.
The other thing that strikes me is it's very much a win-win, because like you said, if somebody's coming along, they're already a successful business, they come to you with a specific challenge or whatever else, the fact that you've been there since the beginning means you know the ins and outs of their business. You built up that relationship. You're not kind of starting from scratch. So you're probably in a much better position to give them the correct advice and the advice that's really, you know, bespoke to them.
Yeah.
And that's what really you know, stands out in my mind. It's fantastic. It's a fantastic idea. And so you've kind of set up this little separate program called Startups at Flynn O'Driscoll. So tell us a little bit about that, because what the other thing that struck me was when I was Googling the other day, and I was Googling business lawyers, and I put in business lawyers startups. Well, you know, as I do. Not that I need a good lawyer. but I was Googling, and the minute I added the word startups, yours was the first three hits that came up on Google, which was great. So tell us a little bit about the startups at Flynn O'Driscoll.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting you say that. Just earlier in the week, we got some traction from an Australian client who's setting up a business in Ireland. And they've obviously an Australian startup, and they're going to set up one in Ireland. And they've just actually instructed us yesterday, and it came from, you know, effectively from a Google search. But obviously the substance behind that, you know, you can go into it and you can see, you know, testimonials, you can see people that we've worked with. And there's one which is a pure startup, and we're just doing a funding round of 2.5 million, you know, US dollars. And that's really come from nothing, you know. So there is a lot of
I think
investment.
We should talk to these guys.
there is a lot of cash out there. I mean, at the moment there is a real wave of investment.
Okay.
Right up until before Christmas, it was really apparent, and some fairly seasoned entrepreneurs have even commented to me lately that it's really noticeable, and they're riding the wave, is what they're saying, because that's, you know, that's what they do. You know, you get other people to invest in your business, and then it leaves you more in your own pot to invest in other things or to do other things, because entrepreneurs, they don't just stop once they have one thing up and running.
Exactly.
They're progressive,
and it's this growing culture of serial entrepreneurs and people who just bounce from one thing to the next.
Yeah,
and that's
how they see it. It's not, we're here for, it's 3 to 5 years in this business. Take the pot of cash out and then go to the next idea that I have. Mm-hmm. And that idea will have been on the back burner or will be developed as a side issue as they do the first three to five, you know.
Yeah.
So I suppose in terms of the things that, how we've differentiated ourselves, you know, with the startup clinics, just being generally available, being around town, going to the meetups for startups and for entrepreneurs. We've got 2 startup suites in our offices, kind of more suited, I suppose, to people from, you know, down the country or people that don't have, you know, office space, so they can come use our startup suites for, you know, an hour or two if they're between meetings or whatever. There's obviously internet access.
What
you've got
sort
a desk.
Of facility as well, just
yeah, so you've got your desk. You've got your, you know, your chair. It's, you know, it's bright, nice, you know, professional atmosphere. You'll come meet us, maybe we'll chat for a few minutes and you can talk through whatever, and you work there for an hour or two, and then you go on the train or the bus or to wherever you got to go home. Or indeed, if you needed to use our office space for a meeting, you know, we're amenable to that, you know.
Okay.
Once we know who we are. And
is there a charge for that?
No, that's free.
This is
something
you're just adding into the pot of support that you provide.
Yeah, so that's, and I suppose people that have, you know, that are based in the various accelerator programs obviously have their own space, so it's less of an issue. But sometimes they might want to meet someone outside of that environment for privacy reasons or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're happy to facilitate that. As long as obviously we know who they are and we're working with them, or there's potential to work with them, or think they have potential.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like any business, you don't want what you might refer to as tire kickers, like total time wasters.
Yeah.
You know, and they're quite quickly, you'll quite quickly identify them. But if someone comes to you and they've got a genuine idea, they've genuinely invested in it in terms of their their, you know, personal capital, you can't but not help. You can see what it means to them. And you're saying, well, think of this. Did you do this? Did you do that? I've gone there. You need to do that. And that's fun. You know, it's human instinct. Yeah. You kind of want to help people. I want to see people be successful.
You're kind of sounding more like advice, support. I mean, it's a little bit of everything, rather
it's everything.
Than just
it's not legal. I mean, because I've worked with businesses, you know, right across the spectrum of, you know, listed companies to, you know, startups, whatever, any kind of sector. And you pick up a lot of stuff, you know, in 10, 12 years of practice. So it's all of that information that you're downloading to people if they're willing to take it. And it's more like, did you know these guys? And putting people together and acting as, and that's another value add, is just in terms of acting like almost like a LinkedIn before LinkedIn existed.
Connecting
people. You were dealing with one startup who's doing one thing and another startup who's doing another thing.
You should talk to these guys. There's kind of synergies between the two. And people will, they chat to each other and they, oh, do you know these? And they'll just, this is just an introduction. Because if someone's an investor who's interested in a particular space and there's something else that is kind of a bolt-on to that space, well, then there's no reason that
there's
he
no reason
be interested.
Not to put the two of them together.
So we put them together rather than just saying, here's your bill, you know, say, I'll talk to these guys as well, you know. So it's quite helpful.
So you're really in touch with the whole journey for entrepreneurs and businesses. And is that because, like, I mean, have you had your own challenges? Have you, you know, your own experiences?
Well, I suppose our business is like any business. You know, we're trying to keep it lean. We're trying to be able to provide a competitive service. We're trying to compete with the larger firms, you know, in Dublin, provide the same quality of service, but provide it at a lower cost. You know, there's no getting away from that. That's, you know, you have to be competitive. You have to differentiate yourself. And it's being at the end of the phone, at the end of the line, being the guy rather than going into a queue of, you know, maybe trainees or people that don't actually know you, who you are and what your business is about. It's to be able to pick up the phone and ring Declan Cunningham, and ring David Ryan, and ring Alan O'Driscoll, and ring Pat Flynn in Flynn O'Driscoll. That's the key thing. You know, you need to be there. You need to be available.
It's sounding less and less like LA Law.
No. It's like, you know, like during the week there, we have issues to a client that has, you know, a really strong competitor in Dublin. The two of them are head to head in business.
Yeah.
And it's quite emotional, like what's going on at the moment. And we're kind of bought into that as well. And there's legal aspects and there's non-legal aspects, and you're dealing with all of that. But that's why they ring you. You know, that's why they text you. You know, it could be late in the evening. You text them back, or you pick up a late email. And you know, it's important to them to get a response, so you'll give them that response.
It's great to see, though, that not only do you have a vested interest from the business perspective, I mean, by hearing you talk, you're quite passionate about it as well, which is great. And it's something that, you know, we love seeing with the startups and the businesses that we talk to. So as a general question, I mean, and this is a question for both of you, Declan as well, are there any particular types of startups that you really enjoy working with? Are there ones that, like you mentioned, that there are some of the tire kickers out there? Are there ones that you've come across and you just kind of go, we get the sense from past history this is going to be a bit of a time waster? Are there ones that you really enjoy working with and you really get a kick out of? And are there ones that are kind of emotionally, physically and everything draining?
You kind of identify them pretty quickly. If it hasn't worked for someone, and it's been a long struggle with the same thing, and you can see that they've been in and out of different places and different accelerators maybe, and it just hasn't worked. You can kind of, you're kind of looking at the same, it's time to change or build on top of that or do something slightly different. I'm not doubting that you're entrepreneurial. You're not going to say this to them necessarily unless you've got a relationship, a good relationship
it's
with
them.
It's
not necessarily that you're doing wrong.
Yeah,
it's just not getting the wrong product.
It's the wrong product. Or, you know, so sometimes it's hard for people. You know, they've invested a lot of emotional capital and their own hard cash in things to realize, oh, maybe this isn't going to work. But no, I mean, it's this, we're like sector agnostic, if that's a term you'd want to use. You know, whatever, if there's a vibrancy about the team, the people that sit in front of you, they believe in it.
Yeah.
If they've already got, say, something like they've gone and got competitive start funding. Well, I know that someone in Enterprise Ireland has sat down and these guys have put together a business plan and a strategy. They've thought about it. It's structured. I'm happy to help someone like that, as you know, because I know that if they... Someone
they've already gone through
them.
A vetting process of vetting. Source.
Exactly,
sorts,
So you're kind of looking for that. So people that have, they're in an accelerator or are about to go into an accelerator or have EI funding or have had someone, you know, of merit invest in them as well. You kind of know, well, these guys, there's something about them. Someone else has identified it, but you'll know when you sit down in front of them. Mm. You'll often come out and you go, "What do you think about that idea?" I think. And then sometimes you think, "Don't know." No, but the don't know might be just because, you know, we don't know everything either. We don't know everything about the latest and greatest technology. So you could be proven wrong, and you're delighted when you are proven wrong. Mm. So you know, we're not prejudiced in terms of any particular sector, but I suppose a lot of the stuff we would see would be tech, tech driven. Some more recently, food. Food
big,
science
big on
driven
the increase as well. Yeah, yeah,
and even some life science stuff out of Galway, which is obviously a strong hub for life science startups. And that's a very different type of startup to a more kind of traditional tech startup in terms of the costs that are required to get a medical device. You know, first in animal, first in man, and all the trials that are required.
It's a long process.
It's a long and expensive process. It's a very clear and trodden path, but it's a very different type of process to a more traditional, say,
software
or a tech, traditional tech startup. So it takes all, but it's good to be able to have examples of, and having worked with all of those types of people, you can pull what you've learned from all of those into the clinic that you do with the guys in the community on the first day. You can kind of brainstorm, how does this work? How do you protect yourself against this? Who supplies you this? So you're reliant on third-party software. Da, da, da. You can go through all of that. And sometimes, we need to fix that. Yeah, we need to buy. I had one on Tuesday morning in Galway, and it was, we have a third-party license that we need to buy for our graphs or whatever they were using within their product offering. They knew that they had it. And these guys are really clever engineers, but they, by their own admission, say when it comes to the legal stuff, we don't have a clue. And they're far more intelligent than I am, but it's just they're not tuned in. That's not their thing, and fair enough. You know, they focus their energy on the product, its functionality, and its innovation from a technical perspective. So why should they have to worry about this other stuff? And but it's good for them to have a little cheat sheet in their back pocket that says, these are the elephant traps. Hold on. No, we haven't done that. That looks a bit like what we were told about
in that meeting. It's something we come across quite often, actually, as well, is that people are so focused on, you know, the thing
what
that
they're
really good at, they're really strong at, and then it's like, I know there's all this other stuff over here that needs to be done, but later type thing.
Now, you gave a very good example of that at the start, and it was something simple, you know, your statutory books, you know, your register of members. So your register of members says A, B, and C own shares 2, 3, and 4 each, or whatever it is. EI come to put in their money, and then hold on a second, the share register doesn't look like how you've told us. What's going on? You know, it's important to have that. Doesn't send the right message. You know, it's important to have that stuff, and that's very basic stuff, and it's very simple, and something you can do yourself once you're shown how to do it. You manage your own statutory books, but first of all, you should know where they are. Because sometimes, I don't know where they are. And you're looking at them and go, it's a legal requirement for you to have them. Make sure you know who your directors are, who your shareholders are, where your statutory books are. And just keep that a little bit tidy. And if you're entering into contracts with people, make sure you've had someone have
look
a quick,
it over.
Quick look over them. Yeah. Anything that has the word exclusivity
in it.
It's
the buying the car thing.
Yeah.
Like I've always said, I know nothing about buying cars. You know, I'll go in and your man could say it has a flux capacitor and transwarp drive and I'd be just sitting there nodding going, okay. I'd always bring somebody who knows a lot about cars.
And you'll spend 10 grand on the car and you'll go out and you'll make that decision in an hour, and you'll spend 3 hours surfing the net to find the best new app for something or other at a cost of Fiverr, you know?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to come and access one of your clinics, what's involved? How do they get in touch with you? And then what, do you arrange an initial meeting? Like, what's the process that's involved? Because I know people listening are probably going, how do I get to these
guys? I suppose the first thing to do would be to send us in an email or to give us a ring, and then we can set aside some time to meet you. And if there was an overwhelming response, hopefully, what you could do is we could do an evening session, you know, because obviously you're busy during the day on fee earning work, but happy to do some evening sessions where people come in, sit down, you do a brainstorm, you know, we divide it up between us and myself, Alan, Declan. We've got 20 in the team, obviously, so we can assign resources accordingly. Okay. And people just get in contact is the key message, really.
And then how long would a typical session take? Does it depend on each case?
It would tend to be over an hour. You'd like to say you could do an evening and everyone could have a half an hour, but you'll get through that half an hour pretty quickly. But you know you could really truncate it down to half an hour really. But usually it rolls into an hour because you kind of cross not just legal stuff, you into commercial stuff and strategy and funding, and because these are things we're coming across all day every day.
So you kind of impart
your knowledge, I suppose, on those aspects as well, or even things like tax. I mean, I'm not a tax advisor, but you kind of know when things, when there's someone needs to go and talk to a tax advisor, and you'll tell them to do that, you know. So that's it. It depends on the complexity of the person that's in front of you as well, in terms of what they've already done
and
what stage they're at. Yeah. So,
finally, any words of advice from both of you? Like, just quick bullet points for startups who are considering, you know, obviously availing of your services. But what are the, from all the experience you have, two or three quick phrases from Declan?
Hide the porridge.
I think the one thing that I would say is that don't be afraid of the whole legal aspects of things. You know, myself and Dave and the other guys on the team, we're meeting startups all the time. There's different events we go to, just like, you know, the Upstarts events that you guys ran, and all these the same issues are kind of coming up there all the time. So just get out there, ask for help off somebody, and you know, you don't necessarily have to always be dealing with it yourself. Just look for a bit of help, and I suppose
it boils down to, just because you don't necessarily understand it 100% yourself doesn't necessarily mean it's a mountain to overcome. Somebody will be able to help you. David, very quickly.
I suppose there's a couple of things. One key thing, you need, your business needs blood and needs, you know, air, you know. Know and identify the sources of funding that are available for to you. There's no point coming in to talk to, you know, one of the top five law firms, whoever, and spend all your money on that. You need to know where your next dollar is going to come from, and you need to make sure you know about absolutely every source of low-hanging fruit, as I call it. You also need to just sit down, brainstorm, just see where all the inputs are, see where there's potential legal issues. And the third thing is, don't give away your equity. Don't give away your equity at the start.
That's the big one.
Talk to someone before you figure it out. And there's the concepts like founder vesting or reverse vesting, or, you know, you need to be able to take back the shares off the guy that walks out the door before you make it big, because you don't want him as a passenger for the whole journey.
Brilliant.
So that's
just
it.
Getting everything kind of tidied away nicely at the start, rather than in 10
when
years time when you're making a bit of money.
Guys, thank you so much.
And there's
some amazing advice there. So Declan and David from Flynn O'Driscoll, really, really appreciate
pleasure
you coming
to have
in.
You.
Yeah.
And
so if anyone wants to contact us, we're obviously on www.fod.ie. You're also on Twitter @startup@FOD. So feel free to get in touch,
and we'll put all those contact details up as well, Andy, want me to make sure people can get hold of you.
And we've run out of time, so thanks very much to the guys for coming in, and we will see you all next week. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye.